Oh, you pray, Brother James, down Mississippi.
It's your honor to be here. I've enjoyed this week. It's been a blessing to me. I'm certainly glad there's some folks from down home where I pastor had the privilege to come up and be here. And got a couple here this morning. Drove in last night late. Got here. Glad that they're here. And I appreciate each of you being here. But I am so glad that the Lord is here. I've learned to enjoy myself right by myself with the Lord. I was coming down the road the other day, me and Brother Joe, and I mean to tell you, God just spoke to me and got on me, and I'd like to have a spell. I told Brother Joe, I don't know what I'd done if I hadn't been driving that car. I'm doing my best to control myself, you know. And, well, the Lord sure is good. I'm glad I'm saved. Thought about what Brother Milby said the other night, preaching about that ark and that door. I remember the time in March 14th, 1961, that the Lord said to me, come in.
Amen.
I responded and I came in to that ark. And he shut the door. And somebody said, you can't get out. Well, I've never wanted to get out. There's never been a time since I've been saved that I wanted to get out. I just love the Lord and appreciate being in this old camp meeting. Just thought about Brother Neesmith. He's got a great burden on him. We had a camp meeting a few years ago and having to really call on men to preach. I know a little bit about what that's like. And I've been praying for Brother Neesmith all week. I believe he's done a good job. I believe he's done a great job. Great preaching this week. And don't expect to hear it from me like you've heard it so far this week. But I do ask you to pray for me as I try to preach the Word of God. I'm going to be reading, if you have your Bibles, in the book of Mark's Gospel in chapter number 2. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 2. Let's look to the Lord again in prayer. Father, we love you. God, I'm so thankful that one day you looked down and you saw a young man in the state of Mississippi. Lord, it didn't have no hope. Didn't have no money. Come from a very poor family. Lord, I'm thankful that you love me even though I didn't have anything. And I'm glad you called me by your grace. And Lord, as the dear brother said, that, Lord, I repented of my sins, and, Lord, I've never regretted a day that I was saved by your marvelous grace. Lord, there's folks in this audience, no doubt, right now, that don't know you. They're lost without any hope. They're just one step from hell, God. I pray for their soul today that you speak to them in a mighty way. Bring great Holy Ghost conviction upon them, God. And right here in this hour service, save them, Lord, by your grace. Lord, those young men from our church down there, Lord God, would you help them today? God, they come from a good family. They've come from a family where mama and daddy loves you, faithful to you, but God, that's not going to save them. God, help them to see that they must come to you for themselves. But God, you will save them if they'll come and in repentance and faith. God, there perhaps these others here that don't know you, but you know who they are, and I ask you to deal with them. And God, speak to every heart here. You know the burden of our heart this morning. God, we need you to help us. Would you help us in Jesus' mighty name, and we'll praise you. Amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 2, we read, beginning in verse number 1 of this chapter, the Bible said, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there was certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Oh, what they seen that day just moves my heart to the place that I'd like to see it again. And perhaps there's those today that don't believe that it's possible to see it again. But I believe that it's still possible to see it again. I believe it's possible to see the things that transpired in the days that Jesus walked upon planet Earth. I believe that he is as much real today as he was back then. Now, I'm very much aware this morning that Jesus is not on this earth in the flesh walking about. But I do know what the Word of God said. Jesus told us in the book of John's Gospel when he told them that he was going back to the Father. But he said, I am not going to leave you comfortless. Now listen to this. He said, I will come to you. Now I want you to know that Jesus is here this morning. He's here in the Spirit of God this morning. You say, how do you know? Well, I got a personal relationship to him. And anybody that's got a personal relationship to him knows him, and he knows them. He said, I know my sheep, and a stranger they will not follow. Well, I'm glad he knows me this morning, aren't you? Well, now, Jesus can still do the same thing. I'm from the old school this morning that I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad today that I don't have to get up in the morning and I have to wonder what Jesus is going to be like. I know for a fact that Jesus will be the same thing tomorrow that he was yesterday and that what he is today, because he never changes. The Bible tells me in Malachi's writings, he said, I am God, and I change not. I'm glad I serve an unchangeable God this morning. I'm glad that he never changes. He's not like a lot of folks I know in this world. You know, there were some folks that I knew in past years. There was a time that they walked with God, and they had a great Christian walk, and their life manifested the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, they're far away from God, and they're in a backslidden condition, and there's no even resemblance of God in their life. I'll tell you, I'd rather for God to just take me on home this morning than for me to go backslide into this world of sin and degradation this morning. It'd be better to just go on and be with him and enjoy the glory world than it would to be die in disgrace. Well, I want you to look at the scripture with me this morning. I've got a burden on my heart. It burdens me this morning what I'm seeing in the churches today and in the church world today. Everywhere I go and when I talk to preachers, I've got many preacher friends in different places. Some up in North Carolina, some up in Kentucky that I talk to quite often, and they tell me that everywhere they go, they say, preacher, churches are drying up. People are quitting going to the house of God, and some of the churches are even closing their doors. And I say, well, that shouldn't be. You say, well, preacher, and I, then listen, this just kills me when I hear somebody, and I believe it's nothing, I hear preachers even say this. He said, well, preacher, don't get so beside yourself about that. Don't you understand, preacher, that we're living in the last days? And the Bible said there was going to come a falling away in the last days. But you see, I know this, that it doesn't have to be me. It doesn't have to be the church that I'm pastoring. I know this, that we can still have real old-time power in our churches today. I know this, that there can be old-time conviction in the churches today. I know that we can see people born again in the churches today. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take something other than what's happening in the church world today. I'm going to tell you what I do believe this. I believe the church can be successful today. But you know the description of successful churches today does not match up with the Word of God. They look at the building and how high the steeple is. There's a church down home, and it right now it probably costs $5 million to build that church. And out to the side there, they're building another building. I believe it's costing $3 million. And it's their family life center. And it's where they get all meet up and do whatever they do. I don't know what to do, and I don't care what to do. But they think that's going to be success. They think that's going to bring success. It might bring a lot of people in, but it's going to bring people in that knows nothing about God. I'll tell you what, it's going to take something other than material things this morning. I want you to understand that God owns the world and all things that are in. He don't need our material things. He don't need those kind of things. He wants us this morning to want Him, and He's the only thing and the only one that can bring success this morning. I want you to notice what the Bible said. It said again, again. You know that word again means? It means it happened before this. And the Bible tells us in chapter number 1 that there was a time that Jesus came into Capernaum, the same city that He's coming into at this point in time. And when He came in that city, He went into the synagogue of the Jews, and there was a man there. And when Jesus walked into that synagogue, and this man had an unclean spirit, and I understand that to be an immoral spirit. I understand that to be a spirit of immorality that was in this man's life. And that spirit began to cry out and said, let us alone. Brother, I believe the Lord, if the Lord's present in the house of God, I believe the devils that sound be saying, let us alone. Why have you come to torment us? I'll tell you what, this morning, if our churches can get God on the throne again of where He wants to be, we're not going to have to worry about those people that's trying to divide the church and try to run the pastor off and try to take over the church. I'll tell you what, if Jesus is on the throne this morning, they're not going to be able to stand it because He's going to have more power than they do, and they're going to have to either get right or leave. Amen. The Bible said again, again, and if He can do it one time, He can do it again. And brother, I'm going to tell you what, when all the word got out, they began to talk about this man that had this unclean spirit and how Jesus had cast that unclean spirit out of that man. Now, I don't know, this might cross your wires and you might get electrocuted. But I want you to know this morning that you're looking at an old Baptist preacher, and you might not call me that after I make this statement, but I still believe that people is demon-possessed this morning. And you say, well, preacher, what are we going to do about that? I'm going to tell you what we need to do about we need to fast and pray and get close to God, and we might have enough of the anointing of God on us that we can recognize that preacher, now come on. I'm going to tell you what, he gave us power to tread on serpents, didn't he? He gave us power over all the enemy, didn't he? I'm going to tell you what, it's over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 10. He said the anointing will break the yoke of bondage. He said if we're anointed, and you say, well, preacher, I don't believe in all that stuff. Well, that's why the church is like it is today. That's why it's dry. That's why it's dead this morning. I believe in the anointing of God. I believe the Spirit ought to be upon us this morning. And when the Spirit is upon us and upon our churches this morning, I want to tell you something. People that are in bondage of sin, of whatever it might be, dope, alcohol, a sexual disease, that's what sin, well, they call it a disease, it's actually sin. Amen. Adultery, fornication. I believe God can set them free and break that yoke. Amen. You say, what is that preacher asking that preacher to preach for? Boy, I'm going to tell you what. You know why the churches ain't doing nothing? Because they ain't doing nothing. There ain't nothing going on. Let me tell you, back here Jesus cast that unclean spirit out. He went on over there to Peter's mother-in-law's place. And he healed her. She had a fever. She rose up immediately. You say, well, preacher, now don't come here. You're not going to preach that healing business. Oh, yes, I will. Bless your heart. You're looking at an old-time Baptist. I'm not one of these modernistic fellas. I still believe this God I serve has healing power this morning. I want to tell you, friend, my little wife back home, these folks will tell you right here, she had an aneurysm a year ago in November, and brother, all for all practical purposes, she was dead. Let me tell you something. If you'll listen to people, then they'll rob you, your faith. They'll get you to a place you can't pray. Even your own family will do that. And brother, let me tell you something this morning. I was down there at that hospital, and you know, my daughters, let me tell you what, education will ruin you. I believe education will ruin people. I said education ruin people. I'm not against education, but I'm going to tell you, if people allow education to ruin them, I've got two daughters that's registered nurses, amen, and they come to me in that hospital, and they put their arms around me. I know they was trying to comfort their old daddy, and they think their daddy's kind of backward and all that, and they don't believe in the way I live and the way I dress and the way my wife dresses. They don't believe in all that. They don't do that. And they come and put their arms around me, brother pastor, and they put their arms around me and said, Daddy, now listen, Daddy, you just got to prepare yourself, and said, Mama's not going to make it. I pushed them aside. I said, get away from me. I want you to know Mama's going to live. I said, God's already told me that Mama's going to live. And Mama's not going to die. Mama's going home. And they said, oh, Daddy, do you believe that? I said, I believe that. And let me tell you something. I was laid there for 18 days outside the intensive care room. And one of my daughters spent the night with me. And brother, I was praying. I was laying there thanking Jesus for everything He had done and what He was going to do. And she said, Daddy, you believe that, don't you? I said, baby, I believe it with everything in me. There's nothing God changed that. I believe God is still God false. I don't believe He's lost His power. People come up to me and they say, how's your wife? Almost like they're expecting me to say, well, you know, she's alive, but her mind's gone, and she can't get around too good. Am I lying, folks? You can't even tell it, can you? Matter of fact, she remembers stuff I can't even remember. Amen. I'm kind of afraid it got a little better or something or another. But I'm telling you what, friend, she's just like she was before. She's all there, brother. And I'm going to tell you what, it has made me realize even more. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You might think you believe God, but you let some tragic happen in your family where you really need to touch the God of heaven, and you need Him to rescue you
out of that situation you're in. And brother, you can cry out to Him and He can come and deliver you. I promise you, your faith, your life will never be the same. So all these things was happening. Jesus was, these people, now listen, they heard Jesus was there. And they begin to bring people, go all over that country, get diseased folks, sick folks, and bring them there. And the Bible said many of them was healed. I mean, He healed many of them. Now wait just a minute. Could I just stop here and maybe cross your wires a little bit? Because I'm a Baptist and I know how Baptists think, brother. I know exactly. You can't tell me nothing about Baptists I don't already know. I've been preaching almost 43 years. And if you can't learn something 43 years, you're pretty dumb. Amen. But I've learned this, that there's a lot of people this morning that don't believe in healing. They don't believe in anointing with oil. But the last time I looked, it's still in that Bible. It's still in that Bible. Amen? It's still right there. Matter of fact, my wife was laying up in intensive care. And brother, she had that ventilator on her. And at the time, her pulse rate was just running away. And her respiration, I'm not a doctor or nurse, you can tell that. But her respiration was up on that thing. It was running 36. And that doctor said, I don't know what we're going to do about it. I told my girls, I said, look, girls, I didn't have my car. I didn't have because my oil was in my car. And I didn't have that. I said, girls, would you go somewhere and get your daddy a bottle of olive oil? I want pure virgin olive oil. Listen, my youngest daughter took off down there, and brother, she come back with a bottle about like that. I said, bless the Lord, that'll do it. I went in that intensive care room, and my precious wife laying up there, and she didn't even know I was in there. And brother, she was arrested, and she was asleep. They had her sleeping. I looked up there, the respiration was 36. I anointed with oil. And I said, Lord, you said whatsoever we ask in your name, you said that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. And I said, Lord, I believe your word, and I'm asking in Jesus' name that you might touch my wife and bring those respirations down. And I stand there weeping and praying and calling upon Him. And when I looked up, now you think I'm lying, but I am not lying. Them things come down to 22 and 23. And they never went back up. I am trying to help you this morning. We still have a mighty God. We still have a mighty God. He hadn't lost His power. The Baptist church has lost its power because they lost out with Him. Amen. And let me tell you what Baptists believe. They believe this. You quoted that scripture, preacher. I understood what you were saying, you know. That He will never leave thee, forsake thee. I believe that. But you read over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Azariah was sent over there to Asa. And he said, God said, I want you to take him a message. And the message was, if you be with God, He's going to be with you. But if you forsake Him, He will also forsake you. And I'm going to tell you why Baptist churches don't have the power nor the how. They have forsaken the God of heaven. He didn't forsake them. They forsook Him and He walked out.
I'm going to get what I want preaching, man. So let me tell you. This thing began to spread. They began to tell it everywhere what happened to that fella over there in that, and I believe he was telling it. I believe fella people get delivered and they get really delivered, they're gonna tell it. I don't believe you can contain it. When I got saved, I couldn't contain it. And look, the first person I want to tell my old mama, because she had prayed a many a time, and she had read that Bible to me a many a time, and she said, boy, you need God. Don't forget God, son. You need to be saved. And boy, when I got saved, I thought about mama. I went straight to mama, and I told her what had happened. I'd been born again. I was a child of the King. I was on my way to heaven. And boy, she might have had a spasm. So, it went out and word got out what was going on over there. You know why word don't get out of Baptist churches? Because nothing's going on over there.
Amen. Right.
Oh, we're going to feed them. We're going to have fish fries and we're going to have hot dog suppers. They can get that down there at Hardee's or somewhere. They don't need a church to feed them. They can get that. They need old-fashioned Bible food. Amen. That's what they need this morning. They don't need that natural food. They need that spiritual food. They're on the road to hell. Steaks and baked potatoes won't get them to heaven, but the Word of God will. So he'd been over there. And so he says, again. I do like that word, again. I thought about old Elisha over there when he said, Lord, you've done it for Elijah. Do it again for me. Amen. Don't you imagine when he's over there praying for that old child that had died and Elijah had raised one up? Don't you imagine? He said, now God, I know you did it for Elijah. Now I want you to do it for me. I want you to do it again, God. I believe this morning with all my heart. I believe he wants to do it again. I believe he'd like to do it again. I believe he'd like to bless his people this morning like he blessed them in that. Look, I read that early church and I read that book of Acts and somebody calls it the Acts of the Apostles. I don't call it that. I call it the Acts of the Holy Ghost. If that bothers you, there's the door. It is the Acts of the Holy Ghost. All through there is telling you what the Holy Ghost is doing and the work he's doing. He said, Jesus told him to tarry at Jerusalem till you be endued with power on high. He said, after that the Holy Ghost, didn't Jesus use that? If Jesus used it, then it ought to be all right for me to use it, hasn't it? Amen. Again, Jesus entered in, look here, into Capernaum. Now, if you know anything about your Bible, Capernaum, Jesus, in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, I believe it is, and he knew what Capernaum was. And some of you is going to be just like Capernaum. Jesus said to Capernaum, and he said, and thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But it shall be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than it is for you. You say, well, what would Sodom have done? What would they have done in order to remain? That had to repent. I believe the church needs to repent. Bless your heart. Well, what have they got to repent of? Not believing the Word of God. They throw just about everything this old book teaches about holiness and godliness out the door. Just say amen right there. I believe we're serving a holy God. He said for us, he said, be ye holy even as I am holy, didn't he? And brother, I believe you and I ought to be a holy people. Our bodies ought to be a holy vessel because the Holy Ghost dwells in this vessel. He don't dwell in temples made of clay, but he or wood, but he may have dwells in temples made of clay. Say amen. Amen. How many of you would like to live in a filthy, trashy, dirty house where they spit tobacco juice on the floor, where they put their cigarettes out on the floor, where you can't breathe in it, there's so much nicotine on the walls? How would you like to live in that? Oh, preacher, I wouldn't. No, but bless God, there's a lot of people expect the Lord to. Why do you expect the Lord to do something you won't do? Say amen right there. You see, I already hit something right there. You see, we don't want to repent. We don't want to repent. And repentance means you quit doing what you're doing. You quit doing what you're doing. But our churches have done got to a place there's not enough of God in there to get on people to show them where they stand to cause them to repent. Say amen. Our churches think they need a lot of things. But I want you to notice something. There's every kind of book any kind of book you want to buy is out there to tell you preachers how to build a great church. You can go out there and spend your $14 or $20. Make that joker rich if it wrote it. He probably ain't never pastored a church. But he wrote a book. And go out there and buy a book, How to Be a Successful Pastor. How to Build a Successful Church. They're out there. Guess what? I got the book for success. It's right there. It's the good word of God. It tells me how I'm to live. How I'm to walk. He tells me if I walk in the Spirit, I'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I walk in the Spirit, I won't get out here living an ungodly, sinful life. So when I get in the pulpit, I don't have no fire God on me. I want God's fire on me more than anything else. I separated myself from this wicked, ungodly world, and I've signed on my mind set on heaven this morning. And brother, this world means nothing to me. I am a stranger and a pilgrim. It's already been said, my citizenship is in heaven. I'm like Abraham. I'm looking for a city. I'm looking for a city. Somebody was talking the other day, talking about Abraham. Was Abraham going to be in that city? I said, why in the name of the Lord would he look for something he wasn't going to get go into? Amen. Yes, sir, he's going to be in that city. Abraham ain't in it. None of us in it. Amen. I don't know of anybody here offer your son. Somebody said the other night they wouldn't give theirs for a whole bunch of you. I got two girls. I promise you, I love you. I hope you get saved. I just couldn't give one of my precious girls. No, sir, I couldn't do that. Abraham, I admire that man. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to notice here now. Look here, and again, he entered into Capernaum, and straightway, and it was Norris abroad that he was in the house. Now, it wasn't Norris abroad that Dr. Slobberjaws, with all the PhDs, was in the house. I'm going to make some of you mad. I'm going to tell you what, we've got so educated that... Now you'll get up and preach about these schools out here and how they've educated our young ones against God. But I'm going to tell you, these cemeteries have educated fellers that's called to preach against God, against faith, against holiness, against godliness. Say amen!
Amen!
You're
right.
It was doors abroad that Jesus was in the house. And guess what happened? They didn't have a big billboard out there and say, hey, come over, Jesus. No. People was excited. People were excited. Jesus excites people. You wonder why these people jump up and run a little bit around here? You wonder why these preachers dance a little bit? It's because Jesus is exciting. I'm going to tell you, He's exciting now. I mean, He's inside me. And He's jumping up and down. And when He's getting to jumping up and down, I got to jump up and down with Him. Amen. You say, you only act that way up here. Well, there's my church members. Get them off to the side, away from me. Ask them. Now, I'm going to tell you, some preachers only act one way at a camp meeting and only preach. And hey, and they'll only preach certain things at a camp meeting, but when they go back to the church, they purr like a little kid. They're scared to preach on holiness and godliness back where they pastor because they're scared of their pocketbooks and they're scared to ruin their popularity. Say amen. I got over that a long time ago. You don't believe that? Ask them people I pastor. They know exactly how this old boy is. What I'm here right preaching this pulpit, have I preached it down there? Did I preach it down where you pastor, brother? People don't change when they get to a camp meeting. It's just, somebody said, what's the difference camp meeting and church? And back at the church. You'll probably go back to church. There won't be a move of God in 6 months. But I mean, it's people. You know what it is? It's people that's hungering for God. And it's just, they all got the same desire. They want to get in the presence of a holy God. And they feel like they can get to that camp meeting where old time preaching is going on. And the folks back home don't see them. They can shout a little bit. They can get into the glory a little bit. Huh? Ain't that right? Why, sure. They get back home, they wouldn't shout to save their life. They'll pout, but they won't shout. Amen. That's what we got. We got a bunch of powders in the churches. Brother, all my powders, we voted them out. Say amen. You know what God did when we voted them powders out? You say, oh, now God bless you, preacher. We don't believe in voting people out of the church. That's the reason the church is so stinking rotten. It's full of dead men. It's got so much sin in it, God can't bless it. Are you familiar with a Gideon over there? And when he defeated Jericho, and God told him, don't take anything out. And that one feller, Achan, wasn't that the feller that took something out and nobody knew about it? And you say, I can do what I want to and nobody. That's a lie of hell. God knows about it. I'm going to tell you what, it's not only going to affect you, but it affects your youngest, it affects your grand young. You say, how will it, fella? How will it, preacher? It'll cut the power of God off. When we got rid of that crowd, all they did was to murmur, complain, and gripe, and bellyache, and grumble. When we got rid of that crowd, we got to going. We got people coming in. God sent us people that are Catholic people, never been to a Baptist church, getting saved, getting in the glory, and God's adding to the church. You say, preacher, he's not blessing my church. We baptized 6 in the last 3 months. We've been having it, hadn't we? Brother Tommy, you've been saying, something's going to break out there and that thing's going to explode down there. I'm looking for it. You say, preacher, now come on now. Oh yeah, if I thought it was going to die on the vine, I'd quit and go to the house and let somebody else try. If I didn't believe God could do something with it, I'd leave. And if you don't believe God can do something with the church, you ask you by what to resign and go to the house. Go back to picking cotton or whatever you did. Amen. But I want you to notice something here. When he entered in this house, his noise abroad, what happened? And straightway many were gathered together. Boy, they just started coming in. Insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. Ain't that something? Have you ever seen it that way? Back before I ever started preaching, them old time churches, right there where I'm pastoring at. Went to a revival meeting there back in the early 60s. Old Brother Bobby Lyer was preaching that revival. And more people started coming in there. And they filled that building up. And they were standing around the walls. Just all around them walls. And boy, the glory of God was all over that place. It ain't that way today. Even though the church is coming back. It's been through. It split right down the middle before I went there. You know, it's been through trials and all that. But God's... Have you ever heard read over there in the book of Jeremiah that God told Jeremiah, when you go in there, you start bulldozing. You start clearing the land. He didn't tell him to go in there and start planting. He told him to go in there and bulldoze a little bit and clear it off.
Yeah.
When you go out there and plant a garden, you don't go out there and start sowing seed. You go out there and break that ground up, and then you're going to sow some seed. And if you'll break that ground up, them seed will come up. Amen? We had to bulldoze a little bit. I think the bulldozing is about over. I think it's just about planting time. And I see some stuff springing up. I told Brother Tommy. Thank you, Brother Tommy. Or Brother Steve, I told both of them. I said, boy, I sure wished old Brother Jimmy and Sister Melissa could have come up here. He called me and said, Brother James, I asked the men to pray for him back there in the prayer room the other night. He's been out of work. He works construction. He's self-employed. He ain't had no work. And he called me. He said, Brother James, I sure would like to come. He's planning on driving up last night and being here this morning. And he said, I ain't got the money. He said, I'm going to have to just stay down here. And he had a little job come up. And he was going to get that little job. But I told Brother Tommy, maybe Brother Steve. I said, I wish they could come. I said, now, sister, you got no sister Melissa. You see,
She ain't one of them old Baptists that's been messed with.
Yeah.
She ain't one of them Baptists been messed with. You, if you know what I'm talking about. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
Messed with. You see, she was in Catholicism. That's all she knew. And just about a year ago, she got saved by the grace of God. And boy, she's been on fire ever since. And boy, she don't know no better than start jumping up and down, waving her hands. And I told her she'd come around this crowd here with all the hollering and shouting going. I believe she'd take off and run around this thing 3 or 4 times. That's right. Amen. I said, boy, I wish she could have come on up here. I like to pastor them folks that ain't been messed with. That'll soak into some of you, man. Somebody's messed with them. That's the reason. You ain't shouting. Somebody's messed with them. Amen. That's the problem. Somebody's messed with them, and that's the reason. That's the reason they pooch mouth, and that's the way they are. Now, I'm not going to tell you the church down where I'm pastor perfect. It's not. I do have some folks there that looks kind of pale when things really start picking up. When business starts picking up, some of them get a little pale. And they're them older people that got messed with years ago. Well, they gonna get in, get out, or get caught. Amen. Because the church is on the way. Amen. Problem in Baptist churches? The focus is on the pulpit. I know I ain't going to get no amens. I don't know how many preachers here, and I don't really care. And I'm not trying to get your favor, and I'm not trying to get you to get me in a revival, because I don't care. I'm too old. I done got too old to worry about that little stuff. I'm serious. I'm serious as a heart attack. That don't bother me. A lot of problems right here in the pulpit. See, I didn't get no amens on that. The problem is right here in the pulpit. Because many of these fellows that stands in the pulpit, they don't really believe that book.
You're right.
They say they do, but they don't. I passed by this preacher's house down there where I pastor at, because I'm probably being taped. And I don't know if it'll get on the internet or not. I might have to face and fight him or something. I don't know. You know how they are. Anyway, I passed by his house. And it's back in the summertime. And there was Mr. Pastor out there on his lawnmower with his Bermuda shorts on and no shirt on. Had 2 or 3 hairs on his chest. I guess he misunderstood that. I guess he understood that, misunderstood that text over there where David was in trying to talk to his son. So he said, "Show thyself a man." I guess that's what he was trying to do, but they misinterpreted it, see. He's trying to show his, and he's out there in that garb, you know. It'll get with y'all after a while. He's out there in that garb, you know. And directly, here comes his wife out of the house. Guess what she's wearing? She's wearing the short shorts and a little halter top. And her hair's cut off like the man's.
Amen.
Say amen. Come on, don't die on me.
Hey,
you know how come we got so many icicles in the pews? We got too many polar bears in the pulpit. Say amen. Y'all ain't gonna agree with me. Y'all ain't gonna come down where I preach no ways. That's all right. I done got over it. It don't even, you know, I just preach it. It don't bother me whether people like it or not. If I know the book backs it up, that's all that matters to me anymore. I'm serious. I am serious, folks. That is all. I love that word. You know what Jesus did when they all got gathered together? He didn't tell them about flowers on little Willie's grave. He preached the word of God unto them. We got too many people standing in the pulpits telling. I had a family call me up. It's been some time ago. And it was a church where I used to pastor. And boy, God blessed us there in an unbelievable way. And it's been several years since the pastor there. And you go there now, it looks like a Southern Baptist church, if you know what I mean. And if you Southern Baptist, bless your heart, you need to get out. They're ordaining women preachers and deacons. Get out. Get out. I'm not going to be numbered with that kind of crowd. But they called me up. And this lady was just weeping on the phone. And she said, Brother McCraney, she said, I am so hungry. They're about 70 miles from where I pastor. She said, me and my husband said, we're so hungry for the Word of God. And they said, our pastor, all he does is tell one story after another. And the husband said, Brother James, said, I can tell his stories better than he can. And said, them stories ain't helping me. And said, he said, I can feel myself slipping. If you see your church member slipping, preacher, check up on what you're doing in the pulpit.
Amen.
It might be you.
Yes. Yeah.
If you feed them what that word says, they're not going to slip. They're going to be established. And Jesus preached the word. The Bible said Paul wrote to Timothy before he died. And every one of you young preachers, don't walk down the aisle like you the cock of the walk.
Amen.
Don't strut around like you Mr. Peacock. Everybody knows you ain't nothing, no way. Just go ahead and humble yourself before the God of heaven. And He'll exalt you. Don't exalt yourself. Let God exalt you. There's an old preacher. Bless his heart. He taught me, boy. I sat there and sucked it in like a sponge, what that old man taught me. He knew that Bible. He taught me holiness and godliness. Me and my wife was there. Let me tell you this. Can I just preach? Little old country church, and he was my pastor. And me and my wife, we was worldly. You know, this way before I started praying, we were just worldly as we could be. Back before what happened down there at that time, me and her went out to my mama's in our Bermuda shorts. And when mama got through with us, we were so ashamed, we never would wear them again. So we didn't put that on again. So we go down and start going to this Baptist church down there. Because I was wanting to hear the Word of God. And I went there, and boy, this fellow got up there and preached. My wife, you see these people today, they got green and purple and blue and yellow and black. And some of them look like spider webs. And my wife was sitting there, and she was had all that black stuff around her eyes. I don't know why in the name of God women want to do that. God made your eyes. Don't you think He made them beautiful? Huh? Are you ladies trying to improve on God what He did by putting all that stinking makeup on it? Do you think you can improve on what? Oh, it's getting quiet. Do you think you can improve on what God did? I don't think. And boy, my wife sitting up there, her lips was red as cherries. And boy, she had that black stuff on her eyes. Them eyebrows just more fixed. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all ain't altogether dumb. And boy, she's sitting up there and she thought she was somebody. We're sitting there in church. And boy, that old bald-headed preacher, red-headed, what he had. He had just a little red hair. And boy, let me tell you, they talk about them red-headed people. They something. I got two red-headed granddaughters and they're something now, buddy. They got tempers. But boy, he got to preaching. He was preaching in the power and the Spirit of God. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, the way these people dress is ungodly. He said, these women, and he pointed his finger right at my wife. He said, some of these women, you know what they look like? He said, they look just like an old ring-eyed coon. Son, my wife turned red. I said, Lord Jesus, she ain't going to never come back with me to church here. See, I got her out of a Southern Baptist church. See, I said, but you know what she did? She got the weeping. That old mask got the running down her face. She never put it on no more. And I thought my
my wife was pretty before. I thought she was the prettiest little thing I ever seen. But boy, when she got like God made her, woo! Is she beautiful, brother? Somebody's puffed up and mad at me already. That's all right. I'll fellowship with you and hug your neck, and I still love you. I had an old member. I'm like an old member. Old member, I pastored a church over in Louisiana. I had an old member. He's about 6'6", just skinny as a rail. He'd come in the door and he'd wave everybody. He'd come in and say, "Hey, how's everybody doing? How's everybody doing?" Diana, he'd just smile. "How's everybody doing?" He walked down the front. He said, "Hey," he said, "you know, I love every one of you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it." You preachers get mad with me. I'm going to love you anyway. There ain't nothing you can do about it. I'm over getting mad with preachers. I'm serious. God knew for you what He done for me. It'll change your attitude. And there's a lot of preachers that needs attitude adjustments. They'll even get in the pulpit and use it for a hammer. And I'm not doing that. I'm preaching my heart. And if you don't know that, there's something wrong with you. If your spirit ain't hooking up with the spirit that's in me, there's something wrong with you. I'm preaching this from my heart. I know what's wrong with churches. You say, "Preacher, it's not what's outward that counts, it's what's inward." Well, let me read you a scripture. Would you allow me to read you a scripture this morning? Years ago, I chewed. Believe it or not, I chewed tobacco. Is anybody here chew tobacco? Brother, you bless God, you better not be chewing tobacco. I thought I preached that out of you. You hear that, church? Remember, I said, "Amen, me alive," didn't you? I said, "Used to chew." And there was an old-time priest. I told him, I said, "Man," I said, "ain't nothing wrong with chewing." I'd quit smoking and start chewing. Go from one vice to another. That's the way a lot of people are, you know. And he said, "Well, let me read you a scripture. I'm going to read you this scripture." But he didn't say some things I'm going to say. Listen to what he said in verse. Well, let me just begin back up here a little bit. I'm on this. Can I just stay on it? Lord Jesus, this morning. I'm going to read this. I'm going to hush. All right, I promise you. I hear your guts are growling. I think that's your guts are growling. I don't know. It might be you. I don't know. Amen. I want you to listen to this. "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." The other side of that now, he's talking to saved people. And he's saying to saved people, if you won't come out and separate yourself from them, I'm not going to receive you. Ain't that what he's saying? There's two sides of that scripture. He said, in order for me to receive you, you've got to come out from this world and be clean, be holy, be righteous, be godly. Listen now. Not only will I receive you, but I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, what is he saying there? What does a father do? A father, now, that's only for them that separate themselves and come out, and he receives them, and he becomes a father to them. You say, "Well, he's already my father." I'm saying, yes, sir, but he'll fill the place of a father. He will start providing for you and protecting you just like a father does his children. Now, if you don't agree with that, you come to me and tell me what's on the other side of that. I don't believe you can get saved and then be lost. I believe in eternal security. And I believe people that's not walking holy this morning and doing what that Bible said is out from under the umbrella of provision and protection of God, that God is not obligated to take care of you. Why do you think what's happening in America is happening? It's not because of what's going on in Washington, D.C. It's not because of the queers in our country. It's because of what's going on in our churches. All right, let me read. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us
cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh.
Amen.
Now the flesh. Now what does that mean? You go look it up. It's talking about the external, this outward body. You know the only thing this world can see about you is that outward part.
Yes, sir.
Now what's on the inside will be expressed on the outside.
Amen. Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. Is not that right?
Amen.
If it's right on the inside, it's going to be expressed on the outside. Now, he's talking about here. He said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, inside, internal, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that word perfecting there means accomplishing or bringing to pass holiness in our life. And the only way we can do that is separate ourselves from the world out here and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I just run over a few things? Could you picture Jesus smoking a cigarette? Could you picture Jesus chewing tobacco, dipping snuff? Could you picture Jesus using slang words, cursing? Could you picture Jesus in a pair of Bermuda shorts or short shorts or a muscle shirt or no shirt at all? The Bible said he was naked on the cross and he despised the shame. He despised it. Y'all look mighty pale to me as well. I went in this direction. God led me in this direction. Brother, I want to be a blessing to every one of you this morning. I want to help you. You need to cleanse yourself external and internally, accomplishing holiness in the fear of God. And there's the key, and I'm finished, because I could preach on the fear of God. You know why people don't do it? The fear of man. And the Bible says the fear of man bringing a snare. I'm through.